Very good. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Tonight we're going to title for Mr. Brandon back there is simply Spiritual Gifts. Tonight we'll go over in not as much detail as we might want to, and maybe next year we'll take and do a two-part series on this. But the spiritual gifts that are spoken of in the New Testament, what they are, and their place in the church. So I hope to be an encouragement to you tonight. I hope the Word of God will be an encouragement to you tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I know it's in the New Testament, one of those little bitty books, so I still hear papers rustling. So hope you had a good afternoon. Hope you had a chance to take a nap. Some of you are ministering this afternoon. Had a good Sunday morning for Labor Day. That was amazing. A lot of visitors here. There was a couple of families that was here this morning that we haven't seen in a while. Visitors. And so it's just good to see God continue to bless. And had good visits this week. How many of you, it's good to have the Chenu family join this morning. Of course, they're back tonight. And how many of y'all visited the Chenu family prior to them joining today? Good. Amen. One, two, three. Several. This morning I said, well, me and my wife have been in their home, and I said, well, the other people have too. I don't want to ever think, you guys to think, oh, the preacher, no way. It can't. That's right. The Chenu's like it. Especially Miss Chenu. She's going to fit right in. Now, there's some other people here that really ought to get to know her. So I need somebody else to pick on. It's going to be awesome. But anyway, just a great morning, and we've enjoyed what God's done today. And especially for Labor Day weekend, just really good. I know we got lots of people out. We have a tendency to dwell on those. At least as a pastor, I do. I miss people when they're not here. But I understand, and I hope they're having a good time with their family, and I mean that. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As everyone hath received the gift. We've all, if you're saved tonight, then God has given you gifts, spiritual gifts. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. We pray, Lord, that you again would bless in a mighty way. Help us again to see the subject very clearly, and that we would all seek to know what our gifts are and then to use those gifts in your church family. And we'll thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Giftedness to serve God in a unique way is what your spiritual gift is about. Now, notice what I said again. Giftedness to serve God in a unique way. In other words, every saved, born-again believer at Heritage Baptist Church has been given gifts by God. Maybe gift. In other words, God has given diverse gifts to individuals. It could be just one or two or three. It could be 10. But God's given those gifts to you to serve in His church in a unique fashion. In other words, your gift is given to you uniquely to be used in the church body. Amen. And if you don't use that gift, then that hole may never get filled because your gift is unique to this church body. Giftedness to serve God in a unique way. God's plan or God's will for you is to meet a specific need in your church family. So the gift that God has given you is given to you, and God's plan or God's will is for you to meet specific needs in the church family, in the church. Everybody, amen? God's given you those gifts. Whatever they may be, and it's various gifts, you have a gift. God has placed you in the church. And boy, I'm going to read a lot of scripture tonight. And I'm going to try to be short, but I want to give you a lot of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have to go there. And of course, here in a minute, Romans chapter 12, because that's where the main body of the text is found concerning gifts and what they mean and what they're being used for and so forth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God placed us. And look at verse 28 first, and then we'll back up and do some reading. Verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. God placed us in the church, or set us in the church, and gave us gifts, again, to be used. Look at verse 28. And God had set some in the church, first apostles. I always like to point out, it says He placed in the church first apostles. Well, He did that in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 8. So when Jesus prayed all night and chose His disciples the next day, His apostles, the church had to be in place when He did that. So the church did not begin in Acts chapter 2. Just like to point that out every once in a while. that the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost, but it started in the Gospels by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen. He didn't say Peter would. He said, I will build my church. He said, preacher, you're always harping on that. I don't really get why. Well, there's many other doctrines, teachings that hang on that truth. And when you're dealing with those who are in the Pentecostal movement, that type of movement, charismatic movement, then you better have your church doctrine right. It'll help you. So look, again, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but he placed in the church, first, apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I want to clarify what the whole point of this. Of course, he's teaching us about the working of the church and how the church should work together, and that God has given diversity of gifts so the body can work and fulfill the plan of God, which is to reach people for Christ, disciple them, and to disciple them, baptize them, and disciple them. Amen. But in this particular section, especially, he's addressing and correcting this church. The church at Corinth was a very carnal church, very worldly church. And the special gifts, the gifts that were outward spiritual gifts, had gotten way out of hand. And Paul is saying, why are you seeking the gifts of tongues and the gifts of prophecy and the gifts of... Those are not the best gifts. And we've already preached on this year. What is the best gift? Well, the next chapter tells you it's love. Charity never faileth. Love in action never faileth. He says, you know, and I do want to just flip over to chapter 13 and look with me at verse 8. Charity never faileth. What does charity mean, by the way? Charity means love in action. The King James gets it right. That's why it says charity instead of love. Charity is love in action. It's a difference. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall what? Class? Say it. All right, let's back up so we can all do this together. Verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall, whether there be tongues, they shall, whether there be knowledge, they shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and that which is perfect is the word of God, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When the word of God was completed around 90 to 100 AD, there was no need for prophecy anymore, as it contains to prophecy in the outward sense, prophecies that were directly given to somebody to give to the congregation. That was directly, I mean, what happened, prophecy was, God would speak to somebody in the congregation, really speak to them. I'm talking about speak to them audibly. And then they would relay that message to the church. But when the word of God is complete, there's no need for that anymore. Amen. God says he finished the work. This is complete. And whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be knowledge, it shall cease. And whether there be tongues, they shall vanish away. All these things, these special sign gifts vanished. They ceased to be in existence when the word of God was complete. When that which is perfect has come. He said, now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. That should never be preached at a funeral. That's not talking about, well, you know, we just don't know everything in God's plan. No, that's not what that verse is saying. That verse is saying, now we look through a glass darkly. He was saying the New Testament church in the beginnings, when Jesus Christ founded it, they were looking through a glass darkly. They didn't have all the truth. They didn't have the completed word of God. When they were a child, they spake as a child. The church was in its infancy. And so it needed these special sign gifts. It needed the direct revelation from God in order to function. But now, he says, face to face. The word of God is complete. Now we see Jesus face to face. And we can go over to 1 Corinthians 13. There's other places we can turn to prove this out. But the word of God, when it was completed, done away with some of those special sign gifts. I wanted to clarify that. But verse 28 does say he set in the church first apostles, prophets. He gave diversity of gifts. Look at verse 1 of chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be you ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Let me slow down just a little bit. Wherefore, I give you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, therefore, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. I'm not going to read the rest of that there down to verse 11, but he's basically saying, quit arguing with each other concerning what God has said. He said, whatever God has said, he's only given one message. So if he prophesied, it's the same Spirit that's prophesying. If there's miracles taking place, it's the same Spirit who's performing the miracle. In other words, there shouldn't be conflicting messages when membership get up to speak concerning what God has said. There was a problem in this church. I'm just telling you. Look at verse 11. But all these things, or all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as what? He will. It is the Holy Spirit, it's God, who is given these diversity of gifts as He will. So understand, it's not the preacher who gives the gifts away, spiritual gifts. It's not your Sunday school teacher, the person who led you to Christ, but the Holy Spirit gives them as He would. So whatever gift you have has been given to you by God. And maybe it's not the gift you want. But you don't get to determine that. I want to be an adult Sunday school teacher. Well, do you have the gift of teaching? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you need the gift of teaching if you're going to teach in a Sunday school class, whether it's adult or whatever. So if you don't have that gift, God gives the gifts. Look at verse 12. For as in the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For why one Spirit are we all baptized in the body of Christ. By the way, that's talking about water baptism. It's the Spirit of God that leads you to get into the baptistry. That's not talking about Holy Spirit baptism. That's another subject that I would love to teach and preach on right now. But that would be a rabbit. I want to chase it really bad. It's one of my pet peeves, that verse. People misinterpret that verse like crazy. Wherefore, we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of that one Spirit. Notice it just keeps on saying, there's only one Spirit. There's only one message. The one Spirit gives the same message. Not diversity of messages, but one message. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, and I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, can the hand turn against the brain and say, I'm not going to follow you anymore. Fine. I don't know. No, it's not going to do that. It's going to follow. I was talking to the hand. Everybody saw that? It's going to follow. The hand's going to do what the brain tells it to do. The eye is going to do what the brain tells, and so forth and so on. And he's just really pressing hard here that it's the Spirit of God that leads us. It's the Spirit of God that gives us these gifts. And those gifts are given so the body of Christ, which is the individual churches. So the Heritage Baptist Church, the gifts are given so the church can work together unto the edifying of its members. The building up of its members. The encouragement and the teaching of its membership. In other words, the gifts should not be in any way a place or are given to divide us. They're there to encourage us and compliment us and to help us and edify us and build us up. And so many times, if we're not careful, those gifts are put in a position where people are jealous of other people. And so he's just saying, quit doing that stuff. He goes on to say, let's look down at verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I just want to point out what Paul's saying here is. There are not big gifts and small gifts. He says, the less comely parts are the most honorable. I still believe, and I think the biblical principles are found three or four times in the New Testament, maybe even more, that the less honorable gifts, but I'm going to use it this way, those who serve in the background who never receive compliments, those who serve in the background who never get patted on the back, those who serve and minister and are quiet and meek and just quiet about it, those may be the ones who receive the greatest rewards in heaven. Notice I said maybe. And that's what Paul's saying here. We need to be careful that we think, well, because he or she does this in the church, he or she is more important. And then we get this ideal that people are irreplaceable. No one's irreplaceable. So God gave the diversity of gifts. And therefore, if you use the gift God has given you, whether you think it's a top gift or a low gift, if you use it, God's going to bless you equally with those whom you may think has a better gift. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? That's a good clarification Paul does about underneath the inspiration of the Spirit there. And whether one member suffer, verse 26, all the members suffer with it, and one member be honored, all the members should rejoice with it. We should rejoice when people serve. We should rejoice when people serve the Lord and done some great thing, and we should be rejoiced about that. We rejoice that people have a good voice and can sing up here. I enjoyed Miss Linda tonight. That was awesome. We should rejoice that Brother Schuler has the talent to play that guitar, right? We should rejoice that Tim still can sing at that age. I mean, it's amazing. We should rejoice, shouldn't we? I don't think this is a huge issue in our church, but boy, it can be pretty quick. And we have a lot of new people. I just want to remind Heritage Baptist Church that God uses everyone. And we should rejoice with everyone and how they're being used. And we shouldn't want that, you know, if God doesn't give you those, what we would consider those gifts that may be a little more to the forefront and more visible, then we must be careful with all those things. Look with me, it says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Some of you are our hands, some of your eyes, some of your legs, but we all have a part in serving. We have our particular spot we should serve in the body of Christ, in this church family. And I want to clarify again about the term body of Christ. The body of Christ is talking about churches, plural. This is the body of Christ. Victory Baptist Church over in Weatherford tonight is the body of Christ. Worth Baptist Church in South Fort Worth is the body of Christ. And we do not believe nor teach in the universal invisible church. God has placed in his church, this body, members particular to serve and to edify the body of Christ. And we are not to covet earnestly those gifts which may be, again, out in the front. Or more visible, maybe a better way to put it. You are important to the body, is what Paul is saying. You are important to the body. And you will enjoy using the gifts God has given you as you find the gifts and you use them in the body of Christ. You will enjoy serving. All right? You have a gift. What is your gift? And usually God uses talents or something you already enjoy and feel like you're good at as your gift. I mean, a lot of times people who can sing could sing before they got saved. Amen? So God many times will take the talents you've been given and those become your gifts. Everybody with me? That's not always the case. We have some pastor's kids in here, and we could talk to other missionary kids, and you could find out there are people who are called who were not good speakers before they got saved. I know preachers who were so shy, they wouldn't even look at you before they got saved, but God did something miraculous in their life and gave them the gift of prophecy, which we're going to cover that here in a minute. Preaching, being a preacher, God gave them that gift. And that same thing can happen to you as well. So we're not saying simply God's going to use your talents. I do believe that's what happens most of the time. But listen, God may have just done something for you that is amazing when you got saved and gave you gifts that you don't even know you have. I mean, it's amazing what God can do. And so we encourage you in that way. He doesn't always use our talents. But sometimes, man, he'll take a shy person, a shy lady, shy man, and make them teachers who would have never spoke. You know, some of those, you hear about that one now. I was really shy up until sophomore year in high school. And then there's one teacher, my English teacher, who I credit with really opening my eyes to such and such and so forth. But you guys are just like, preacher, go on. It's good stuff. But she's the one that really got me opened up. And I remember before that, I didn't want to speak. I would never want to give an oral report. But after that, God just used her in a different way to help me. So God has given us gifts. Number three, what is the purpose for our gifts? And we're running out of time, but 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells Timothy, stir up the gift that God has given you. And sometimes we as Christians need someone, we need to be prodded a little bit. We need the gifts stirred up. The illustration there would be, it's kind of like having a fire in your fireplace and using that poker to kind of, poke around and get that fire flaming. Everybody with me? Nobody's ever done that before. That's the word, if you go look it up in the Greek, that God is using there with Timothy, Paul with Timothy. Stir up, prod it, stir up the gift that God has given you. And tonight, that's kind of the purpose here. We just want to stir up what God has given you. God has given you a gift, and you need to find that gift. You need to find out what that gift is, and then use that gift for the Lord. Again, 1 Peter 4:10, we read it, that God has given us diversity of gifts. We have our gift. We're to be, and 1 Peter says, to be a good steward of that gift. If God is giving, and we say this a lot because it's kind of more visible, but if God's giving you the gift to sing, you should use the gift to sing. You should be a good steward of the gift God has given you. Some of you say, man, some of you say, oh, preacher, don't do that. If you can sing, you're going to give an account someday for that. I'm going to give an account for my talent and how I used my gifts. The gifts were given. What is the purpose of my gift? It's the edifying of the body of Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Familiar passage, Ephesians chapter 4, and look with me in verse 11. What is the purpose of my gift? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? Verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. For the perfecting, that word means complete, the completing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, the churches, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto perfect man, that means complete man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God gave gifts, and God placed in the churches those individuals. Why? Their gifts. Why? For the edifying of the body of Christ. The building up, the ministering to the body of Christ and the community. That is the purpose of our gifts. And again, this is kind of the outward one, easiest one to illustrate. God did not give you the gift to sing to go sing in a honky-tonk. God gave you the gift to sing so you can sing and edify the body of Christ. Right? And that's an easy illustration. And God gave you the gift to teach so you could teach in his body. God gave you the gifts and so forth. We should serve and use our gifts for him. And listen, I want to spend time on verse 16. I'm really chasing rabbits. Want to so bad. Verse 16 speaks about fitly framed together. As a church, we ought to be fitly joined together. We should be, as a family, fitly joined together. And the illustration, as we've touched on so many times here, is talking about the temple. The Old Testament temple, the Bible says, was fitly framed together. When they set the temple up in the Old Testament, listen. When they set the temple up in the Old Testament, they did not use hammer or nails on the temple site. Everything fit together. And the way it's described is these stones were quarried out of the rock, of course, and they were numbered. So let's say you quarried this section of rock, you number it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You go to the temple site, and you place those stones back exactly where you quarried them. And so when you approach the temple, not only was it fitly framed together, that each brick slid into each other, and you could not even get a piece of paper between the crack. That's how fitly framed together they were. But they also looked like one stone. I looked this up again this morning, today. I wanted to find my reference for that. Matthew Henry's dad is the reference I have for that. And there's another reference that the temple, when you approached it, looked like one piece of rock, fitly framed together. And that's how the church should be as well. We should be close to each other, not allowing mortar, not allowing sin to keep us apart. You know what? When we have issues one with another, generally speaking, it's a sin issue. And when there could be personality clashes, and we know all those things that happen, but we need to be careful. Also, the illustration here is that when you miss, and I'm speaking to the choir tonight because you're here, but when you miss church, that means there's a brick missing in our wall. And so there's a hole in the wall. We need you here in order for our spiritual temple. We're not building a physical temple, the Bible says. We're building a spiritual temple. And I'm going to preach this again here recently. I was studying it a little bit this week and preach it again. Listen, we are fitly framed together. And then, therefore, our gifts should be used here in the body of Christ. We use our gifts to be a blessing to each other, to help each other, to encourage each other, to minister to our church family. What are the spiritual gifts? Turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm almost done. And this is where I would like to maybe, next time we preach on this, to do a little more clarifying. But what are the spiritual gifts? Romans chapter 12 gives us a few. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one. So don't be careful about thinking yourself. That's why I used the wording a while ago. You're not irreplaceable. Don't think too highly of yourself. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, the same gifts, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. What? How? According to the grace. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us these gifts, and it's by grace. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. This word, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 a while ago that says prophecy shall fail, because I wanted you to know that this word here is not the same word. This word is talking about preachers. It's talking about the office of a pastor, per se. It can also mean, someone who preaches in the rescue mission down the city of Fort Worth. But speaking of preaching, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. On he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So here it speaks, it gives us just a small list of the spiritual gifts in which you get. The first one is prophecy. This is the ability to preach God's word. This is not teach, there's a difference. I'm talking about preaching. By the way, there is a difference. Some of y'all know Brother A.V. Henderson, was a member of our church for 4 years. Great preacher, one of the best preachers of all time, modern day. In his late 90s, when he was late 80s, early 90s, when he was here with us, moved to East Texas a couple years ago. But he got to the place physically where he couldn't stand hardly and preach. And he said to me, he said, I will not preach from a stool. I will not sit on a stool and preach. And I said to him, well, everybody would love to hear you speak from a stool. It wouldn't really matter. And he said, it matters to him. Because preaching is more than teaching. He didn't mind. He taught the senior saints class on a stool. He didn't mind at all teaching from a stool. There's nothing wrong with that. But preaching is more than teaching. The word preach means to cry aloud. The word preach means to lift up your voice like a trumpet. It means every once in a while when you're preaching, and I did it a couple times this morning, preacher ought to raise his voice. Sam Davidson, when he was here sweating and yelling and screaming, preaching has some to do with it. It's supposed to be to herald forth, to trumpet out, to preach. It's more than just teaching. You can teach from a stool, but to preach, preaching's different. Preaching's different. Shouldn't be preaching from a stool. Contemporary preachers. Shouldn't be preaching from a stool. Unless you're physically, there's something physically going on there. Anyway, keep forward, brother. Do not get sidetracked. Preaching. Number two is teaching. The ability and desire to teach God's truth. And this is a gift God gives to individuals. men and ladies, men and women, the ability to teach. And whether that's in Master's Club in our church or Children's Church or in the Sunday school, whatever area it may be, to teach. Number three is exhortation. This ability and desire to encourage others. This same word is still that word stirring up. It's the ability to be an encourager and to sometimes, you know, prod someone, to get the fires burning again. And there are definitely people in our church who have that gift. And I like to be around them. They encourage me. I don't like to be around the down and the dumps people. I want to be around the optimistic people. Some in the office need to get a little more optimistic. Neither one of them are in here, so I'm going to pick on them. Optimistic. Just encourager. Just exhorting one another. Encouraging one another. And if you have that ability, you need to be using that ability. It could be in the visitation area. It could be in the hospitality area. There's many areas you could use that. And then next one is giving. The ability and desire to give to God's work and God's people. And this is speaking of the ability someone has to give. This is talking about finances, but as well as their time. And just has that want and a desire to give of themselves in the area of talent, treasure, and time. And I think primarily here it is talking about the ability to give. There are some, and you don't have to be rich in order to do that. I know people who give a bigger percentage of their income than any rich person. It's about how you give according to what you have. Amen? Having the gift of giving. Next one is the gift of ruling or administration. This is the ability and desire to lead and administer part of God's work. And there are individuals in here, no doubt, that have the gift of administration. This is an area that I personally struggle in as a pastor. This is an area I've had to learn and try to grow in. And this is why we hire people who are better administrators than the pastor. Brother Latta. I don't know. Me and Brother Wiggins might be about even. But, you find your place and you do that. And I could name a few others here in the congregation who are good administrators. And listen, you need to be using that talent. When we have special events, when we're putting things together, you need to be a part of that and leading and exhorting. That means departmental superintendents and other things we're going to try to get back in place and do some of these things. And you should be leading, administering, and ruling. Last one is mercy. This fits Bobby Van Fleet to a T. She has the gift of mercy. And whether she had the gift before she had cancer or after, I don't know. I haven't really discussed that with her. But the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is the ability and desire to feel the pain of others and help during their trials. And I'm pointing her out. I don't mean to. If I pick on her enough, I should brag on her every once in a while. And there are many of you in here like that. Some of you who enjoy visiting the shut-ins and enjoy going to the... You actually enjoy it. I can tell you, and I'm not bragging either, that's actually... I talk to a lot of preachers who hate going to the hospitals. I am not one of those preachers. I can't say that I'm, woohoo, let's go to the hospital. But I enjoy visiting with people in the hospital. I hope that I can go and be an encouragement to them. I think it's one of the best visits for a pastor to make. And so I still try to make most of those as I can. I want to go down and see the little girl. I went down Friday and prayed with Caitlin and her parents. And there was a big old crowd in the room. I know the Schulers went down there and saw her as well. And the Scruggs went and saw her yesterday. I want to do those type of things. And I think that is a part of the pastor's ministry as well. But I actually enjoy those things. The gift of mercy. And if you have the gift of mercy, you should be here Tuesday morning at 9 if you have the ability. The gift of mercy, where you can visit those areas. And you can be a blessing to the shut-ins. You need to be in a part of I don't even know what we call it now, but Miss Van Fleet and helping with food and when people are sick and people having, when ladies are having babies and all sorts of things and being a part of that ministry. So many areas that we can be a part and have a place in. You should desire to find your gift. You should desire to find it. What gift has God given you? And you should desire to use that gift for God and to the edifying of the body. Find your place. Labor with God. Because your labor is not in vain. We all have a place that we should be serving in. By the way, the service is never over. We should work till Jesus comes. He said, occupy till he comes. And of course, as one ages, maybe you have to switch and do some other type of ministry. Or maybe when you get tired, you have to have a rest from time to time. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing admitting that you get tired. Nothing wrong with admitting when you get tired. But you should never quit. Never quit using your gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ, ever. So, preacher, I don't know what I might do. Well, pray about it. Ask your Sunday school teacher. Ask the deacons. Ask me. Ask the staff. Have them pray. We're going to have a spiritual gift test next Sunday night that you can take to kind of help you and steer you the right direction. Find your place. Serve. Be a part. Amen? I always use that little illustration. I know it's minuscule, but, you know, are you pulling the wagon? Are you riding in the wagon? Let's all pull the wagon. There's always too many riding in the wagon. Now, when I think of wagon, I'm thinking of a stagecoach. You're thinking of the little Red Rider, you know. I'm thinking of a stagecoach. Don't ride in the stagecoach. Help pull the stagecoach. Let's all be a part. Let's all stand. Hymn 154. Jesus is calling. Lord, touch your heart, you come, after we pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word and understanding and knowing that you've given us gifts. I pray that you'd help us to find our gifts, Lord, and to use those for the building up and the encouragement of the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 154.